Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Welcome to another fine and amazing episode of Fan Junkies Radio. It's December 14th. It's a beautiful day. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, Mike McShane. How you doing, Mike?
Jonathan, we're doing fantastic today. Fantastic. I can't believe this, too. I'm operating on about 5 hours of sleep.
That's why you're doing fantastic.
I know. I'm going to crash right after this show. Watch. I'll hit the wall.
I think so. You sound like you're about to. So.
No. We got a lively one here planned today, I'll tell you.
We have a really good one. We have some guests coming on later on in the show. Uncle Mark, sidekick from the frat house. It's going to be a nice little holiday episode here, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Like the whole radio family getting together. I like it. I like it a lot.
You got that right. You got that right.
All right. Well, just have to plug something real quick here before we delve into everything that we have to talk about here today. We got MLB Hot Stove. We got some basketball. We got some NCAA football. We got Roger Goodell looking like a horse's ass. We have President Obama in the NHL. We have so much to talk about today, Mike.
Yep.
But tomorrow, LFL Edge, our new official podcast of the Lingerie Football League. We are doing a Pacific Cup pregame show tomorrow, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time.
Yep.
It's the Seattle Mist taking on the BC Angels for the Border Wars, right?
Yep.
Who's going to win? Is it going to be the Mist? Mike says it's the Mist. Is it going to be the Angels? Yes. Oh, Canada, I am taking their side. It's going to be the Angels. Mike, you will be wearing a BC Angels shirt by the time we are done.
That's what you claim. We'll see about that.
I know it. I could just feel it. But anyway, listen to it. It's going to be great. You can listen to it live on LFLUS.com. You can also listen to it right here with our very good friends at BlogTalkRadio.com.
Right.
That's at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be joined by the great Jessica Hopkins of the Seattle Mist,
yep,
quarterback Marianne Hansen of the BC Angels, and we have a guest analyst with us tomorrow, Mike.
Yep.
The awesome Heather Furr of the Chicago Bliss is going to be with us going over the X's and O's of the game, and she's going to actually try to help us figure out who's the better team.
Yeah, it's we've got a lot lined up there. We got some media folks too. Is that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, Pete Richmeyer of the Seattle Mist beat writer and
yep.
Mark Steffieri, who covers LFL Canada, will also be calling in right at the beginning at the same time. Maybe we'll have a little friendly debate. It'll be nice.
Oh yeah, I mean I can see that hour just moving along at a rapid pace because there's so much, we've crammed so much in there.
Yes. And listen, you know what? First episode went over great. We had Taylor Haywood on, thousands of listens.
Yep.
You know, and that was only episode one. This pregame show is just going to be monstrous. It's going to be great, and I think it's going to put LFL right where it belongs on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that LFLUS.com and right here. blogtalkradio.com/LFL Edge, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. All right, let's get into a little bit of MLB Hot Stove, Michael.
All righty.
We have to talk about Josh Hamilton because we left off at the last show. We were going to talk a little bit about Hamilton, and of course we couldn't because you and I, when we start talking, we don't shut up.
Yeah, well, we got into quite a bit in the last
absolutely. So. But, you know, big signing.
Yeah, it was. It's a monster signing.
Outfielder Josh Hamilton, formerly of the Texas Rangers, he signed a monstrous 5-year, $125 million contract with, drum roll please, we don't have the sound effect for that, unfortunately, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So now, not only do you have Albert Pujols and the young phenom Mike Trout,
right?
You're putting Josh Hamilton in between these two guys.
Mike, you know, on the surface, it would appear that the Angels would have to be the team to beat, huh?
You would think so. Josh Hamilton, as we all know, he's not, you know, hasn't been a real clutch player in the playoffs.
Right.
Then again, he's going to be with Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. He's not going to have to worry about being a clutch player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a lot of anticipation with Pujols going over to the Angels last year, and as we saw, he got going rather slowly and really never quite had the season I think that everybody was expecting of him from out there in Anaheim in Los Angeles. I'm not certainly suggesting that that's what would happen here with Josh Hamilton, but you know, Jonathan, we've seen it so many times where you get teams that go out and they bulk up on major stars, pay boku bucks, major dollars, and well, you know, just because you might happen to be the most star-studded lineup, you're not. That doesn't always equate to automatic championships.
It doesn't. We've seen it plenty of times, but you know. I just can't believe that the Angels have turned around and have become the New York Yankees of spending money.
The New York Yankees of the West. Time.
But you know what? One thing we do have to talk about, too, is that they did let Torii Hunter go, who's been an Angel for quite a few years now.
Right.
And, you know, he signed with the Detroit Tigers, which I love that signing. Torii Hunter is a phenomenal talent, class act guy. I think he's going to bring a lot to that Tigers organization that Prince Fielder couldn't when you talk about personality and other things. But he said Artie Moreno basically told him that money was very tight in Los Angeles, which is why they couldn't sign him.
Mm-hmm.
Torii Hunter says, I was told money was tight, but I guess Angels owner Artie Moreno had money hidden under a mattress. Business is a business, but why do you have to lie?
Don't lie.
You know, especially to a guy like Torii Hunter.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I mean, but
then you turn around, $125 million to Josh Hamilton.
All star.
You know, they signed Joe Blanton. They acquired Tommy Hansen. They also got relievers Sean Burnett, Ryan Madsen. I mean, they're stocking up.
It certainly appears that way. And you know, we'll see how it goes. I think Hamilton, I believe, I don't have his numbers right in front of me. Actually, I could get them real quick. But I believe last year he had his best production year of his entire career.
No, I think he had 1 year better than that from an RBI standpoint.
Okay.
I'm trying to get his stats open right now, but unfortunately, it won't open. Okay. He had 43 home runs, 128 RBIs with with a .285 average, 103 runs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those home runs were earlier in the season.
Yes, they were. I mean, he went on a tear.
Yep.
I mean, he went on just a crazy, crazy, crazy tear. Yeah, they had 130 RBIs for Texas in 2008.
Okay.
Best home run record for him. Most runs he's ever had, almost third most hits he's ever had last year. So, you know, a couple of, you know, things here and there. You know, you could say he had probably his best season, but, you know.
Right. Well, I wanted to bring him up on Wednesday when we were talking about him. Of course, it's all kind of moot now at this point. But there had been rumors that the Phils had approached him and apparently had made an offer to him of 3 years for $82 million.
Yes.
Now, I've yet to be able to verify that. And, in fact, no one from the Phils organization has taken any, you know, nobody stepped up and said, oh, yeah, well, that was the case.
They're not going to say it now. I mean, it's water under the bridge. Water over the bridge, whichever way you want to look at it. But, you know, they said that the Red Sox were interested, wouldn't offer more than 3 years.
Right.
Mariners badly wanted him, but Hamilton, I guess, wanted to go to a team that was going to contend. So
one of the things, though, that I wanted to bring up here with regard to him, and I'm not saying I don't want anybody to misread me and think that I'm saying this. I'm throwing it out there from things that I've heard. There was a lot of apprehension from Phils fans about taking Hamilton in because of his previous alcohol issues.
Yes.
And my question is, and I don't care what market you go to play in, is that a concern to fans? Does that make Josh Hamilton a liability? One would say no, not when you're getting $25 million a year, huh?
It's, you know, I guess you could go either way on it, Mike. It could be a liability, but, I mean, he has shown that he's been pretty good with it over the last bunch of years. If he keeps going that way, it could be a great signing. Fans could be really, you know, happy about it. But, you know, we had that little hiccup, what was it, during this season, I think, when he was at a club with another girl or something like that, something came out with, and he had a cup in his hand, but they didn't know if there was any alcohol or whatever in it or something like that. I believe it was Josh Hamilton. So, I mean, it could go either way. It really can. Hello? And we're back on. Sorry about that, folks. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties here today. Not sure exactly why, but we're trying to get Mike back in. Unfortunately, it's not working. I think we had a little problem with Mike's connection. Still trying to get him in. Anyway, if anybody wants to call in for now until we get Mike back in, 347-237-5373. We're talking MLB Hot Stove right now, and you know, basically talking about the Josh Hamilton signing. Do you agree with it? Are you an Angels fan? Do you think his you know, problems with alcohol years ago is going to be a liability for the Los Angeles Angels? So, you know, give us a call. Let us know. On to some other MLB Hot Stove issues here. R.A. Dickey. Now, the market is going to open for R.A. Dickey now. There's been a lot of teams that have been showing interest in the Mets. Cy Young Award winner, basically, had a monstrous season for the Mets this season. And, Zach Greinke's now off the market. Anibal Sanchez signed with the Detroit Tigers. So that's, another pitcher coming off the market that teams were interested in. And, now all signs are pointed to the Mets trading R.A. Dickey, according to Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. Saying that they aren't making any progress going into the, going into an extension. So who could the Mets get for an R.A. Dickey? There's been, lots of rumors saying that he could go to the, back to the Texas Rangers. Rumors saying that, who knows, he could possibly even go to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim now. So I don't know what's going on, but sorry about this. We're still having technical difficulties. Something happened at Mike's house, it looks like, and we can't get him back into the call. So if Sidekick or Uncle Mark are listening and want to call in now and be my guest co-host until we can figure out what happened with Mike, that would be great. Because it's always fun to have somebody to talk to. Always is. Let's see. Royals have signed outfielder Xavier Nady to a minor league contract. As you mentioned before, Tigers signed Anibal Sanchez to a 5-year, $80 million deal. To me, too much money for Anibal Sanchez. Still can't believe he got $80 million on a 5-year deal. Pretty insane. Yankees have signed outfielder Ichiro Suzuki to a 2-year deal, $13 million. We heard some rumblings that he actually turned down a 2-year, $14 million deal to play with the Phillies in Philadelphia. Shocked he turned down an extra million. Also heard that the Giants were offering a 2-year, $15 million deal. So he turned down $2 million to go to San Francisco and $1 million more to go to Philadelphia and play outfield for the Philadelphia Phillies. Another nice signing I like here. St. Louis Cardinals picking up utility player Ty Wigginton, who played last season with the Philadelphia Phillies. They, believe it or not, they just traded Skip Schumacher a couple of days ago to the Dodgers. So Wigginton is definitely a great replacement. Yeah, Brandon, give us a call in. You're always behind the camera, so let's get you on the radio here, Brandon. Give us a call and you can be our guest co-host. Not sure what happened with Mike. I hope everything's okay with Mike. Having some trouble getting in contact with him, so let's see what we got here. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, brother?
I'm not quite sure. I was listening to your show, and I heard Mike drop away, and I tried to remote into the house, so there's no internet right now. I'm not sure if it's an internet problem or maybe power or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, let's hope everything's okay with Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure everything's okay. It's just he's probably not very happy at the moment.
You know what? It happens. You know what? Everybody's been complaining about internet connections lately. But you know what? Let's continue with the MLB Hot Stove.
Sure.
What did you think about the Hamilton signing with Los Angeles? Do you think it's a good signing for them? Do you think it's a bad signing for them? Is it too much money? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I did hear a little bit, in the local media here some Philadelphia markets were clamoring for him. And it seemed like the big issue that everybody was concerned about was his length of contract. It seemed like more people were comfortable with a 3-year deal versus a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
And I think if anything could be looked at with his deal, maybe more so than the dollars is the length. You know, they're obviously going to be tied to him. They're already tied to Pujols for a long-term deal with a lot of money in the back end. The future for them does not look good at the moment. They're going to be in some serious financial issues down the road.
Well, absolutely.
With older players.
Who may not be able to play. Exactly. For the monstrous deal that they gave Albert Pujols last season, all of a sudden they turn around and give out another $125 million to Josh Hamilton. That's just insane. They like I told Mike, they became the New York Yankees suspended.
Yeah. And, you know, they're obviously trying to win right now. I mean, if they don't come up with a World Series in the next, you know, 2, maybe 3 years at the most, you know, they're going to be in some serious trouble. They're not going to be able to offload, you know, these guys, you know, without paying a big portion of their contract.
Absolutely. Now, going over to, R.A. Dickey, considering everybody's off the market now, do you think this is, the prime time for the Mets to try to get whatever they can get and hopefully steal a package away from another team for R.A. Dickey since, I mean, he is the best pitcher available out there right now?
Well, it could be. I mean, it depends. I mean, obviously, they'd have to target, you know, a team that's, like, right on the edge, you know, a team that's, they're just, like, one or two pieces away. You know, you could probably go back and look at some of the teams, you know, last year who were close, borderline, you know, that, a number one pitcher would help. I don't know. Some guys don't always translate crossing leagues, though. I mean, obviously, R.A. Dickey's been good for the Mets in the National League. Do you think he'd be good for an AL team as well?
You know what? It's hard to say. I mean, he was with the Rangers for a while. Velocity dropped off. Oral Hershiser, who was the pitching coach down there at that time, basically turned him into a knuckleball pitcher. Heard that the Rangers wanted him back again. Now hearing that the Angels want him and that the Mets could possibly get a package based around Mark Trumbo, which would be phenomenal in my mind, as long as they get somebody else back for him. But honestly, now that I look at things, considering that they're not too happy with Mike Olt, I think their best bet is to actually just try to re-sign him and keep him for the next 2 years.
Mets played better last year. They weren't as horrible as
they have been in the last few years.
Correct. So, I mean, they have something to build on, and, you know, if they want to build around Dickey, and, I mean, I don't know what their financial system's like, but if it's been like in the past, you know, they go out and get a couple free agents over the next couple of years, and they could be contending right up there with the Nationals. At least in the East, you got to look at the Nationals and you look at them as the bench line because they're the team right now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And they're only upgrading, especially with getting Dan Haren this offseason, I thought was a phenomenal move for them. It's going to come down to them either keeping or trading R.A. Dickey. I think that's the biggest move that you're going to hear the New York Mets trying to make. They're trying to re-sign Scott Harrison or go after Cody Ross. I think Cody Ross would be a phenomenal fit over in Citi Field. But they're not going to bring in anybody, you know, that's going to really help this team win 20, 30 games a year. So it's tough. They have two pitchers in Dickey and Jonathan Nease. Teams are interested. You know, to me, I think keep Nease, keep Dickey, see what you can do for the next 2 years and then worry about it in the third year and see what you can do.
Well, I mean, it depends. If you don't think they're close enough to being able to win, you know, if they could get a good package for Dickey or Nease, it may be the time to do it.
Yeah. Well, we got another call. Let me just bring this call in. 484 area code. What's going on?
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey.
No internet connection at my location, so I dropped off.
Well, you wonder what would happen. So Brandon called in to take your spot for a little bit.
Oh, well, that's actually very good. I appreciate that. But where there is absolutely no internet connection going on anywhere at the frat house at the current time, and I have no idea why or what's going on.
Did you trip over one of the wires?
What's that?
I said, did you trip over one of the wires?
No. Yeah. Today is the 14th, right? It's not Friday the 13th.
No, it's the 14th. It's the 14th. You know
what? I'm just checking.
Yeah, you got to wonder if those media showers graced us with some bad luck today or what. So.
Can I be honest with you? I was actually noticing last night during that, about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, things were running a bit slower. But.
Yeah. Those solar flares, man, they're happening.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know what? We were just talking MLB Hot Stove, keeping that going until you found a way back to us. And, you know, glad to see that you found your way home here, Mike.
Well, yeah, I prefer it the other way, but that's all right. We're gonna struggle on through here.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, you know what? Let's talk basketball real quick. I have to mention last night's game real quick. We're not going to really get into it because we've been talking a lot of Knicks and Lakers and Mike D'Antoni over the last couple of weeks. Knicks beat the Lakers last night, 116-107. Great thing is that, you know, they scored, I believe, 70 points in the first half last night against Mike D'Antoni's defense, which is saying a lot. Or at the same time, probably not. And the great thing is they held on to win without Carmelo Anthony, who had a really bad fall and sprained his ankle really bad last night.
Right.
Mike, here we go again. We're talking about it. Mike D'Antoni can't have his team do anything good, can't play a defense. You know, is this guy going to last in L.A.?
Yeah, well, we keep bringing it up, and we've talked about it. I'm operating now here, unfortunately, without any props. I don't have any of my notes in front of me. So bear with me. I'm going to try to go from memory. But did I see there what the Lakers are now 9-14?
9-14 with a 2-8 away record.
You know, and we talked about this on Wednesday, Jonathan. And you got to wonder. How much longer is this going to be allowed to go on? Now, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the Knicks because you know we've talked about them as well, and obviously they're obviously one of the premier teams right now in the league. But nonetheless, you know, it's a funny thing because right before I got cut off there, we were talking about actually, looks like I'm back up and running. I'll see. Let me get through my point, and then maybe what I can do is I can rejoin you again in the normal way here, Jonathan, because it looks like I got my internet access back.
Yeah, I'll just connect to you via Skype and get you in.
Yeah, and I'll let me just finish my point up here, and then we can go through that. But you know, I just brought up the point before about the Angels and the fact that they're stacking that team with what appear to be some of the most premier players in the entire league, and that how that doesn't always translate into championships. And you know, you take a look at the Lakers, and my gosh, that certainly is exactly the kind of recipe that we're talking about. What I was just mentioning. The Lakers are a perfect example of that type of thing, stocking up on premier players, and in fact, it certainly isn't working at this point.
Yeah, well, definitely is. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, hang up.
All right, let me jump off the cell line, and let me see if I can.
I'm actually adding right now to see if we can get you in.
All right, hold on.
All right, let's see if we can get Mike in here. Would be great.
All right.
There you go, Mr. McShane.
All righty. Yeah, we're back in action.
Listen, you know what? That's the great thing about it. It's so spontaneous. It's radio. Listen, things happen. You got to love it.
And listen, I apologize for that because I know I was down there for and it probably came as a shock to you. I was down there for a number of minutes, and I'm scurrying around here going, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it suddenly occurred to me, Mike, just get on the phone.
Well, you know what? I was waiting for you to call in. I was waiting to even get a text message from you or something.
A text I could have done. I was trying to
– You know, just let me know, hey, listen, the house didn't blow up. I'm fine.
Yeah, well, I quick jumped over to Facebook to try to IM you, but, I found out very quickly that wasn't working.
Well, honestly, I thought I was down at the beginning. I didn't know it was still on with a bunch of dead air, so, you know, because it, every time the switchboard goes down, you hear the doo-doo, doo-doo, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it makes for, it's a funny thing because I was telling my brother this morning, I said, you know, when you're doing radio, you got to be ready for the unexpected.
Well, you know what? That's the frat house and that's fan junkies. You know, mistakes happen. Things happen.
Yep.
No.
All right. So I got my cheat sheets up now. So anyhow, but.
Oh man, great stuff! I tell you.
All right. So we were talking about the Lakers. And what have you. So.
Yeah, well, you know what, and like last night with the Lakers, I mean, it's not like they didn't do bad offensively because they got 107 points last night.
Right,
It's unfortunately that first half really killed them.
Right.
You know, Melo being a beast that he is, 10 of 15 from the field last night for 30 points before it beat, like, a couple minutes into the third quarter, he was on pace for a 40 to 45 point game.
Yeah, yep.
you know, that's what really killed him.
Yeah.
You know, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, we've talked about it before, and you know, I'll say it again. I was somewhat skeptical about the Knicks early on in the season. I thought perhaps maybe it was just a situation where you know, they were just having a really good start to the season, but I don't think you can say that much really anymore. I mean, they're obviously for real.
Yeah, they are for real.
And, you know, they're doing it.
You know, Barkley was calling the game last night. He was actually at MSG with Kerr and Marv Albert, which was great. Well, I know people think I hate the Knicks, but they, you know, they're not so terrible as I thought they were.
But wait a minute, didn't I read someplace that he was referring to them as Playboy bunnies?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all of a sudden last night, you know, because you're sitting there front and center and you're watching a damn good team play both sides of the ball. You know, listen, make your comments. You know. But when you see a team is legit, give them the credit that they deserve.
Well, the you know, they're doing it the opposite way.
Yeah.
The Knicks are doing it the opposite way of the Lakers. They're doing it the opposite way of what I just talked about with a team like the Angels.
Yeah.
Yes, they've got some stars on there, but take a look at them. We talked about it before. There's a lot of aging guys on your team, and so they're not doing it with the star power.
No, but these aging guys, listen. Jason Kidd last night, 39 minutes, 9 rebounds, 5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Only 5 points, but he was guarding Kobe Bryant all night.
Right, right.
Jason Kidd, who everybody knocked the Knicks for signing, was guarding Kobe Bryant last night. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, Kobe Bryant, he still dropped 31 points, but an old man kept up with Kobe Bryant last night.
Yep, yep.
You know, and not saying that Kobe Bryant's still a young guy, because he's not, but he still plays a very high-octane game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at times, too, he was switching off, you know. I mean, listen, Rasheed Wallace, you know, Pablo Prigioni, you know, we haven't seen enough Kurt Thomas or Marcus Camby this season because, you know, they're just, you know, Kurt Thomas not playing. You know, he's there as a role player on the bench, help the young big guys. Camby's still out with a sore left foot. But, you know, say what you want. These old guys played great last year. And they're playing great this year. So,
yep.
The Knicks are a legit team. The Knicks are now 17-5 on a season. Best team in the Eastern Conference, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's talk some NCAA football. I know you're a little happy about this.
Well, am I happy about it? You know.
Well, 7 non-football, you know, bowl subdivision schools in the Big East are agreeing to leave the conference. We have DePaul, Georgetown, Marquette, Providence, My St. John, Seton Hall, and Villanova will leave the Big East.
Yeah, and just a correction on that real quick, Jonathan. This really isn't a football issue. This is more of a basketball issue.
Yes. I did. I said 7 non-football. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you said football. Okay, I'm sorry.
It scared me there. I was like, what? I said non-football.
Yeah, and here I've got the right connection, too. I mean, it's just one of those days. You know, I'm having trouble hearing everything.
you know what? Here. You know what? I'll make you feel a little relaxed and at ease. Are you ready? A little Frank Sinatra.
There you go.
Music for us.
Listen
to it. Soak it in. Collect your thoughts. But you know, it's great. It's great that Brett from New Jersey doesn't call him, because I'd rather listen to Frank Sinatra than Chris music than him.
I just need a cup of hot chocolate.
Let's talk about football here.
Yeah, let me weigh in on this whole Big East situation. I am so sick, sore, and tired of the NCAA and conferences and conference movements. The whole situation has gotten completely out of hand.
Yeah.
I am sick of this. You know, there used to be a time when you could tell your rivals, you could tell your competitions, those key matchups by the conference they were in.
Well, listen,
not anymore.
Let me ask you this before you continue to go, because you know me, I'm not big into NCAA sports.
Right.
I could talk it, I could follow it if I need to, but I just don't enjoy it as people like you do.
Right.
Why are these teams leaving this conference, and are they going into a different conference? What's actually going on here?
From what I understand, and I'm going to, you know, if somebody out there has had an opportunity to read up on it more, this was all announced yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to dig into it deeply and read through the whole thing and get to the fine print on it. I'm going to be honest, because I was so busy yesterday putting together the 5 minutes at the Frat House program we did last night. From what I understand, they're pulling out to create a new league. That's what they're doing. So the whole thing, the whole NCAA thing just disgusts me. Because it, I mean, look, let's get it straight. It's all about money. That's what it, that's what it is. But here you've got a, you've got a classic conference like the Big East, which I'm going to tell you right now, you got seven schools bailing out all at once. That conference is gone.
Well, listen,
Big East is gone.
Now, here's an astonishing fact here. Since 2004, 17 schools has left the Big East conference.
Well, you know, a lot of it, you know, it's, a lot of it is based on money. A lot of it's based on television contracts. A lot of it's based on, you know, where are they going to get, where are they going to get on TV, and what, you know, the revenue generated by that. You know, I'm disgusted with the whole thing. I'm just disgusted with it.
You definitely sound disgusted. So should we switch off and go to football?
Yeah, and I think we're going to need to get our third host in here today.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Before that, just everybody listen, I just want to send out our condolences and our prayers to all the kids that are, unfortunately, were killed this morning. Connecticut school, elementary school shooting. Just read some, you know, details and got a text about it just now. And unfortunately, a lot of kids were killed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary School.
I read that there was one.
Yeah, no, they're saying so far at least three people were dead, but I just got another report that there were more and kids were involved. So, you never want to hear that happen, especially so close to Christmas. Terrible tragedy. So our prayers are out with everybody there. Unbelievable, Mike, I tell you. Doesn't stop.
Yep.
But let's switch over to football. And for that, we're going to bring in a guest host here with Mike and myself, and it's Uncle Mark.
Hey, good day, guys. You hear me? Okay.
Oh yeah, we're good.
Yes, we do. All right. For all of our listeners here, Uncle Mark is the brother of Grandpa Mike McShane.
Yeah, pops over there.
Yeah. Listen, dude, you're gonna get an opportunity to find out what I have to live with here 3 days a week.
Don't worry, Mike. Don't worry, man. We're not going to make fun of Mark today.
Jonathan, if you don't behave yourself, I think I might just have an internet connection problem again.
Oh, you probably will. Don't worry. I got Mark.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what? It seems Mark and I actually agree on things. You and I really don't. So.
Oh, well, we'll see where that's going by the time this is done.
Absolutely. Well, listen. We got a little over 25 minutes left in the show, so let's start getting into our stuff here. Let's talk football. And, all this stuff with Roger Goodell, Bounty Gate, playoff expansion and whatnot. Mike, I'm going to give you the mic.
All right. Well,
so,
it's interesting because there's been a lot of football talk that has absolutely nothing to do with going on the gridiron recently. There was a report that came out, I guess it was last week. It was following the Time Magazine article where Roger Goodell appeared on the cover, and it was floated out there that potentially there might be some movement on getting rid of kickoffs.
Yeah.
Then this week, as of Tuesday, Goodell appears at a press conference and insinuates right at the top of his comments at the press conference that, the league may be looking at an expansion of the playoffs. This all coming on the heels of former Commissioner Paul Tagliabue releasing his findings on the whole Bounty Gate situation. And in there, he, for all intent and purpose, expunges all of the sanctions against the players that were involved in that with the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
You've got like three different issues here that are all colliding at the same time, and it starts to make you pause and wonder whether, in fact, somehow or another, they're not all tied in together.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're getting a little feedback. Mark, are you listening to the show at the same time?
No. I'm just on the line listening.
Oh, all right. That's weird because I hear I actually hear a double mic talking. Mike, you're echoing. It's pretty cool.
Well, listen, we've had more issues today than we can imagine.
Yeah, unfortunately, people are just going to have to deal with it for today. I don't know what's going on.
Anything is possible today. But no, since we've got Mark online, I want to let him jump in. You know, Mark, kickoffs, playoff expansion, Tagliabue getting rid of all the sanctions against the states. Where are you coming in on some of the stuff?
Well, yeah, and let's throw one more on top of it, and that's the ongoing pursuit by former NFL players against the league for, you know, traumatic injury suffered, you know, some many years ago. So it would appear this game, you're right, off the field has been targeted unlike anything we've ever seen historically against this sport, and arguably the number one sport right out there, MLB to follow with NBA, right?
Right.
At the same time, the product on the field, the dichotomy is the product on the field has been just remarkable. There's some tremendous numbers of individual and team achievement that we've seen this year, which has made the product just explode. So you've got these two divergent paths, which are very, very interesting, in that the league office couldn't look worse in the public domain. But at the same time, the product being provided by that same league is off the map. It's
yep.
off the map. So I find it very compelling, as you guys have discussed through the season, the different things that have come up. This kickoff thing bothers me. I think it does any purist. At the same time, brought to us by Rutgers, former Rutgers head coach, now Tampa Bay head coach, Greg Schiano, in conversation with Roger Goodell, the idea, can we eliminate, reduce dramatically catastrophic injuries? And this is what they consider is only pertinent on a kickoff, unlike a punt.
Right.
And I guess the ruling giving the kickoff team the ball on their own 30, okay, it's an automatic fourth down situation, 15 yards to go.
Right.
Now you've got the option. You can pass, you can play, you can punt. The issue I have here is that with a team, let's say, like a New England, who's right now pumping out points like nobody's business, they're a machine. You could conceivably see a whole quarter without the ball getting turned over because assuming you score, you get to kick off. Or
right.
take over at your own 30, run the field, score again. Now it's 14, if you see where I'm going. The disparity in the league with some ability, I might view this as a real crippling thing to the game, notwithstanding the loss of excitement of a kickoff. So I'll throw it back to you.
Yep. No, I hear exactly where you're going on that. I, for one, and I have pointed this out on numerous occasions, I'm a purist, you know. I'm an old school. So I for one, don't want to see kickoffs removed from the game. You know, that's just where I am on it. Now, what about the whole playoff situation?
Well, it kind of ties in to the point that while the product on the field has been good this year, there's a handful of teams out there that are very, very bad and need a lot of help to get into contention. And I simply view this as a dilution of product at a pivotal time of year.
Right.
Kind of goes to, you went off on 5 minutes at the frat house. You've shared on Jonathan's program here, the MLB instituting a one-game playoff and how kind of ludicrous that really became because you had some dark horse team who just happened to hit on all cylinders at the right time. And really it kind of took the wind out of the sails of people and fans getting behind, hey, look at these guys go, oh, wait a second, one game, you're over.
Right.
And I kind of see that dilution process in an expansion of playoffs for the NFL for kind of the same reason. I just don't think you're going to get compelling product. And if you do, it's going to be a fluke. And, you know, that really can suck life out of a fan, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because apparently, and this was brought to my attention by Brandon here at the Frat House, and I've got the article up from Pro Football Talk the other day. In fact, it was actually posted by Mike Florio himself, where it was indicated that apparently the trial balloon concept of throwing out there about the possibility of expanding NFL playoffs was really nothing more than perhaps maybe a blue smoke and mirror to take away from any possible questions that Goodell may have had to answer with regard to, not that it took it away completely, but it kind of took the heat off of the whole Tagliabue situation where he came down on, I guess it was on Monday, and for all intent and purpose, wiped out all the sanctions against the players involved in the New Orleans Bounty Gate issue. That this was really, his mention of this was really nothing more than a way to kind of divert the attention of the media. I, for one, I liked the idea of the playoff expansion. To me, you know, when you consider it for a moment, you essentially during the playoffs have two bye weeks. The top teams in both conferences get a bye for the first round. But then you've got the week off between the championship series and the Super Bowl. So there are 2 weeks that are available where you could actually put more games and more teams into the playoffs.
I absolutely agree, and I can see where that might be something valid to consider. In other words, what we would see is basically a quarterfinal round for the NFC and the AFC.
Right.
And it was discussed, evidently, there really was some discussion at the ownership meeting in Dallas, which occurred, I believe it was, last Monday or Tuesday, when the news broke. The expansion could, if we're to believe that this talk actually occurred and Roger Goodell was serious in making the statement, this could balloon out to 16 teams that could potentially make playoff. That is half the league. Now, that's fine if you want to cut the league in half today and say, take your 16 best teams, put them in playoff, and let's have at it. That's one thing. But if you're going to mishmash a few more teams of potentially mediocre talent simply to expand the product, I don't think you're getting the best product. And
right.
The luck of the draw at playoff time, I think, is not appealing to the fans. We will do that all year long.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the 17-game season. We'll flip a coin. We'll roll the dice. We'll play our fantasy. We'll hope like hell. But
mm-hmm.
at playoff time, I think you kind of, this is the second season. This is where you really don't want to tinker too much with, are we going to expand? Are we going to tweak? Are we going to change things now at playoff time? I don't think that's where you want to go. I think you want to leave the playoff system as it is. If anything, maybe shrink it down.
Oh,
and, now you're going to get the best of the best because now there's a real meaning to play. For instance, I'm a Cardinals fan. My Cardinals are terrible. They won 4. Everybody said fraud. Golly, they've proved it. They are a fraud team. They've lost 9 in a row. They have no rudder. They have no direction. They're looking for another quarterback again. Imagine these guys making the playoffs somehow at 8-8 next year, just barely getting in. Against a very good team, and on a fluke they win that given week because we're going to roll the dice in playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think merit still should be.
Yeah, let you know, and I want to respond to a couple of things that you just said there. But here's what I want to do. I want to get another thought in on this, and I believe we've got Sidekick on the line, so I'm going to see if I can jump him in here.
Oh.
Hopefully everything's going to go okay. But considering all my internet problems here this morning, so let me see if I can get him on the line. Sidekick, you there?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh,
hey, how we
there
doing?
He is. There he is. Good morning. Good morning, Dave. Good afternoon,
yes.
Dave.
How's a breath of fresh air has come in now.
Well, listen to this one.
You brought the cheerleaders? Dude, you brought your cheerleaders, I hope. Come on.
Of course. They're all right here with me. It's
you mean,
shame
you
this isn't video.
Golden Girls?
We got everybody here now, I think, right?
Yeah, everybody. Technical difficulties all around today. It's terrible, man, I tell you.
I know. But
So
I just heard you guys talking about this expansion idea.
Yeah.
And, and I believe it was Mark that was saying, 16 teams in the playoffs. you look at the 16 teams in the playoffs is half of the league.
Right.
And I think I think you start losing some of the, you know, it's almost like you're playing peewee, you know. Everybody's going to get a trophy because you all made the playoffs. You're all great. You know, you're going to have these, the fraud teams, you know, go ahead and drink at home, getting into the playoffs. And, you know, you're going to, you know, obviously they'll wind up going against the best teams, which are going to be automatic runaway games. So, either leave it the way it is or look at tweaking and maybe lessening the teams going in and make it more, you know, make it more appealing and more of a desire to want to get into the playoffs and make it a little bit harder.
Well, let me throw something at you, though, Psychic, and that is that, listen, the NHL has done it with a tremendous amount of success. You've got almost half the league. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, I think it is half the league getting into the playoffs. I think the NBA does something similar.
Yeah.
And they don't
think but look at the NHL right now, though.
Well, I'd love to, but we can't.
There is no NHL. So, you know, it works for them, yeah, when they're working.
Well, okay, yeah, but for me,
if for something to be a championship, I think you have to have some sort of – you can't make it where it's easily, you know, for people to get in. You know, you shouldn't be able to squeak in with an 8-8 record.
I agree.
Because if you're 8-8, you're strictly mediocre.
There you go. If you
know what I mean?
If you could coin a line,
I think you should have to have a, you know – Now, granted, you can't, you know, put a little asterisk and say you have to have a winning record to get in the playoffs, but I think you need to make it where teams generally would have a winning record to get into the playoffs.
Right. And I concur with you 100% on that. There's nothing that angered me or annoyed me, I guess, more than seeing the Seattle Seahawks a couple of years ago getting into the playoffs with what was their record at that time? Was it 7-9?
I think so, or 8-8.
And to use that reference, you know, my Rams were in it with the Seahawks, and they lost it the very last game, and they didn't get in the playoffs.
Right.
As a Rams fan, I want to see my team win. I want to see them get into the playoffs. I did not want to see them go into the playoffs with a 7-9 record and be the jokes. As a fan, I wanted my team to legitimately get into the playoffs and belong there. And I felt they did not belong there, even if they went in at 7-9.
No, you know what? I actually agree with Sidekick. And the funny thing is that Jared Allen from the Minnesota Vikings agrees with you as well, because he just came out not too long ago saying, it's stupid. I think it's a dumb idea. The reason our league is so much better than other leagues, I think, is because of that competition. Every game means something. There are 162 games in baseball, and you're like, no one really watches until the end, right? Basketball, same way. There's no real significance in every game. And I think you damage the sport if an 8-8 team has a greater playoff chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the players aren't necessarily happy about it either.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Brandon's in the chat saying, any given Sunday, you've got one of these bottom feeder teams that could get lucky and get a pickup. And now, you know, now they've knocked off, say, a number one seed, and you got a fraud in there playing.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
In the first place.
I'm going to take – I got to take some exception to that. You can't call that a fraud, okay? Look, that's exactly the way it is during the regular season. And why suddenly are we going to hold up a different different level of
standard.
I don't know, because it's the playoffs. Oh, we got to have the top four or the top 16 win on any given Sunday. On any given Sunday, you're going to have any team possibly win.
Right.
And to say that a team that might have a lesser record beats a team with a better record because it's in the playoffs, if that's a fraud, I think that's ridiculous.
No, I wouldn't say it's a fraud. I just think it just scars the sport. You know, I'm sorry. A 6-10 team doesn't belong in the playoffs.
I would agree. Absolutely.
We're talking about being in the playoffs, and once they're there, if in fact they're in there and they go and they beat a Green Bay Packer team that only had two or three losses during the season. You can't say that that team's a fraud.
No, they're not a fraud, but they just shouldn't have been there in the first place. I mean, that's what you really have to look at. You know?
That's exactly right. Jonathan's got it. The point is not post-entry to the playoff round. The real issue is, what does it take to contend in the playoff round? And I just think we're seeing dilution at the very level you're speaking to, Michael, and I agree with you. We will, as fans, for 17 weeks a year, roll the dice and say on any given week. But once we get the playoffs, now it's serious. It's a different season. Let's not mess with that. Let's not mess with the formula that works. Why reinvent the wheel there?
Okay.
But I couldn't agree. I think Sidekick's got it. I come down with Jonathan on that, too. During the year, you're right. Now, if in fact, an underdog but winning team makes the playoffs under the series we know, and they continue to go, hey, don't we all bandwagon ultimately and get behind them? Hey, look at that Cinderella team. We love that. That's what makes the fan come back. But because the playoffs are, you know, they have matter.
Yeah, we actually lost Mike again. I think his internet went out again.
How about it? We got Sidekick with us still?
Yeah, we got.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, Sidekick.
We don't
need Mike.
Well, listen, you know what?
I don't like his point of view anyway.
You know what? I think Sidekick's outside the house, man. He's splicing the lines right now.
Yeah.
He's on the side yard.
He's actually up on the telephone pole right now, cutting his DSL line.
I'm EMP in the house.
There you go, man.
talk about your incentive to play right there.
Well, here we go. We actually have Mike back with us on the line. So.
Okay.
All right. You there, guys?
Yeah. Hey,
there is something seriously wrong over here at the frat house, because this thing is just going up and down and up and down and up and down. I mean, this is nonsense.
Hey, Mike, look at the telephone pole outside, man. Sidekick's up there. He's splicing your lines right now.
He
doesn't like your comments, man. He's like, you know what? He said you have the lead over at the 5 minutes at the frat house, but here everything is game.
Well, does he want to do another SmackDown over the whole tag reboot thing or what?
He wants to, but you don't have internet, so.
Now he doesn't have internet. He's got time to sit down and read that 22-page decision by Tegulabu.
Hey, I guess you have to read the newspaper or something. I don't know what's going on.
All right, well, I'm going to try to muddle through here on the last, what do we got, 6 minutes, Jonathan?
Yeah, so we can wrap it up real quick because we got some things to plug, unfortunately. So.
Yeah.
We only lost about 30 minutes of this show today. So.
You're not kidding. Jonathan, you had some comments that from our president of the United States with regard to the NHL. Let's hear those.
Which, you know, it makes me, say I'm happy people voted him in because Mitt Romney probably wouldn't have said anything. But anyway, Barack Obama says, and I quote, "My message to the NHL owners and to the NHL players is, you guys make a lot of money, and you make a lot of money on the backs of the fans, so do right by your fans. You can figure out how to spread out a bunch of revenue that you're bringing in, but do right by the people who support you. And I shouldn't have to be involved in a dispute between really wealthy players and even wealthier owners. They should be able to settle this themselves and remember who it is that is putting all that money in your pockets."
Love it.
Amen to that, brother.
Love it.
You know what?
He made similar comments during the NFL and during the NBA issue as well, where he indicated that, you know, he wasn't going to get involved in the situation and that he felt that, you know, wealthy owners and wealthy players should be able to work it out mutually on their own. You know, he's always been the president has always been kind of a sideline cheerleader for all sports. I mean, it's a well-known fact he is a sports fan. Sometimes, however, I kind of feel that by virtue of his comments, he really doesn't do any help to the situation. I think he needs to be somewhat more forceful in his comments. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I mean, to me, that's as forceful as you could possibly be. I mean, he's saying, hey, listen, rich guys and even richer guys, stop screwing the fans. And that's something that somebody, you know, in his place needed to say, unfortunately, because nobody else was saying it. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely good point. And, you know, you got to remember, too, while, Michael, you might think his comments were maybe inappropriate to a certain extent, this guy came through as a mediator in his upbringing and early life out of college, and that this guy really does like to see compromise occur. I really believe his comments are legit, and that's why he's made them across different leagues at different times. I think he really means it. Work it out, man. Make a deal. Let's have something happen. He doesn't like the logjam.
The great thing about it is that he didn't hit right click and empty his recycle bin, because it definitely was the same exact comments for the NFL lockout at that time. So,
pretty much.
Yeah. But he's got way bigger things to fry than a hockey league can't agree amongst themselves on a contract. We're not talking like air traffic controllers or anybody like that.
Right, exactly.
Listen, he shouldn't be getting involved in the first place, but it's nice to know that he knows
he has an opinion.
His comments.
He's got an opinion. He's like everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he addressed it. He made a statement. But, you know, should he be actually getting involved saying, look, you know, you two guys settle it, or, you know, or as the president, I'm going to, you know, issue some mandate, you know, and end the lockout and make you all go back to work regardless. You know, I don't think that's his job to do. You know what I mean?
I don't think it was his position, though, either. Right. I don't think his position was that. Right. He wasn't making this comment as, hey, here it is, or I'm coming in. Don't make me come out there and get you. I think it was more like he's a fan. He's an individual of the United States, like we all, entitled to our opinion. What do I think? Here's what I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not saying he should issue a mandate or that was a mandate. I'm just saying, you know, I think he's got other things to do, and he made his statement, and, you know, you guys should, you know, try and get this fixed out and not forget who's paying all your paychecks anyway.
Right.
I don't think we want our president of the United States solving the NHL crisis. Let's not forget, too, that the mediators that have been involved, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, have been several mediators. Is that correct?
Yes, it has been several.
Right.
And they've been terrible. But anyway, we got a little less than a minute left, so I just want to thank Uncle Mark and Sidekick from the Frat House for joining us. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, we'll get you on the next show.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
man. Well, you know what? A little less than a minute left. Just want to plug some things quick. Tomorrow, LSL Edge Pacific game preview. Excuse me, Pacific Cup preview on LSLUS.com. Right here, blogtalkradio.com/LSL Edge. 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night with Mike McShane and myself. Great guest.
Hopefully
there.
Hopefully I don't have any internet issues.
Exactly, right? Also, Monday's show, we have former NBA player Dwayne Coswell joining us, former Sacramento King and Miami Heat. That's going to be a good one, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern time right here on Fan Junkies Radio. And as always,
I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be a good one. And for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. We're sorry about the technical difficulties. We don't know what happened. Could be the end of the world. Could be not. I don't know. But anyway, we'll see you all tomorrow at the LFL Edge Pacific Cup pregame show and on Monday, Fan Junkies Radio. Thank you all for listening in. See you Monday.
Catch you then.